Okay, so Rishus HaYachid. So should we give them the overview of what's left? Do that. We have to do Rishus HaYachid. We'll do today. We're not getting through all of these. I'm going to just put out there, right? As I put in a note at the beginning when I was in Toronto, so right, Georgina and I divided up these shiurim. He did most of the Rishus HaYachid, so a lot of these makaros are from him. I've added a little bit here and there. He is very, very organized and has all types of charts on some of the complicated stuff in Rishus HaYachid, which I'm not even going to touch. I'm going to explain what the sources are and like skip 20 at a time, but you have them if you ever want to look at them. We're going to do Rishus HaYachid today. The topics left are Suras HaPesach, which is conceptually pretty simple, right? Like the basic fundamental questions in Suras HaPesach are critical, but not like endless. But Suras HaPesach practically is where like a lot of the shailas come up. But like that takes explaining the concepts and then sitting with pictures and like saying, okay, this is the 10 different versions of, right, Suras HaPesach, which are invalid for this reason or the other. Like you just need to, like, every single practical manifestation of it has a million, and they actually do come up, right? It's not like Suras HaPesach, these never come up. These come up all the time, right? Like, every time you look in, like, Tchumen, there's another, right? We were trying to build a Suras HaPesach on this army base and this yeshuv, and it went over this. And, like, when I was learning Erev, and I talked to different Rabban from different communities, and they were, like, the kulos that they used in Suras HaPesach was, like, half of what they talk to me about. It's like, I got Rev Zinner, the Nitei Gavriel, to say that this wasn't a Pischei Shimai, even though it went over a fence at one place and it went over a water plant at a different place. Like, so, but a lot of that is like, it's just practical understanding what it is. Also, Ray Jachter's summary there, like practical guide is actually very, very, very detailed on that, because that's a lot of the practical stuff. Then you have Karpef, which are certain uninhabited areas within Erev that can mess up your Erev, even if everything else is good. And Erev Chatzeros and Tziris Rishos. Those are like the topics that are left. We'll do them. We're going to try to do them in three more shiurim after this. Okay, and as I made a note here, right, more detailed shiurim of this, again, these were all like much longer shiurim that I gave. They're all on YU Torah. And I looked again today. Like all of these, if you want, also expanded ones that were aimed at Smicha guys, right? Zilberman has on each of these, it's maybe Erevin in like 80 shiurim, 90 shiurim, something like that. There's plenty. If you want, like he goes through, he's very clear. Okay. So Rishus HaYachid. And again, a lot of these sources I literally took, modified from, right, Churchina, including the ellipses and, you know, all credit to him. I was just listening to a shiur by Reish Yeshua Grunstein. I assume a lot of you know him. You know him, right? He gave a shiur on walking that over shuas. He walked into a shul and someone had taken one of his source sheets that he'd given to him, written an article on it, and given him no credit. So I'm giving, and why that's usher. So I'm giving all credit here, right? We learned this together, and like I had given most of Rishus HaRavim, right? Churchin had given most of Rishus HaYachid. So this is how I learned it. These were the sheets I used. So I gave them to you. So Rishus HaYachid. Gemara in Shabbos and Source 1, we've seen this Gemara, says, Tana Rabbanan Arba Rishus L'Shabbos, Rishus HaYachid, Rishus HaRabim, Karmelis, and Makom Ptur. So easy, Rishus HaYachid, Charitshu, Amuk, Asara, Virachav Arba, V'chein Gedershu, Gova, Asara, Rachav Arba, Zor Rishus HaYachid, Gemura. Right, so the Gemara introduces this notion of a pure, as we'll see what that means, pure Rishus HaYachid. And the Gemara gives two, I would say, fundamentally different types of Rishus HaYachid, right? Rishus HaYachid that has walls, right? The one that has the gadir, and those that may not have walls, right? That may not have walls, right? The ditch, the... Now, it's not clear that ditches and mounds that are the right size, right, 10 by 4, are not walls, as we'll see. That is a fundamental machlokes we've shown him, whether there's one type of Rishus HaYachid and all of these things actually have halachic walls, even though they don't look like they have physical walls, or in fact there are two different types of Rishus HaYachid, and that's what we'll see in just a moment. But Shulchan Aruch summarizes this basic understanding in number 2, Eizu Rishus HaYachid, Makom Hamukaf, Mechitzot, Gvohot, Asarat, Tvachim, Yeshvo, Arba Tvachim, Arba Tvachim, Oyoter. Right? 10 Tvachim high, 4 by 4 Tzvachim or more, V'chein charitz amok asara v'rachav arba al arba, v'chein tel gavo asara v'rachav arba al arba. Right? Three types of reshut hayachid, right? You have the walls, right? The enclosed space by walls, you have the ditch, and you have the mound. Okay? Now, it is important to remember that why do we care what reshut hayachid is? We care because if something is a reshut hayachid daraisa, right, then half or more of your problems disappear. Right? Then you are in clear Darabanan territory, you're in Eruve Chatzerot, Shituf Mavot territory, right? You don't have to, right? If something is Erush Yochid, right, Daraisa, there is no problem, you're allowed to carry there Lechatchila, right? The only problems at all are Darabanan, right? And the gold standard of what makes something Erush Yochid, which you can't argue on at all, is Mechitzot, right? Mechitzot are what is going to, and that's why when you talk hear about cities that talk about super machitza, right? I've heard, right? Muncie claims to have a super machitza, Toronto claims to have a super machitza, right? What they're claiming is that they have a reshut hayachid that depends on machitzot. Whether that's true, it's not always true in all of these, that's 100% the case, right? It depends on how many walls you think you need and how you view Torah Pesach, but that's what they're going for, right? The gold standard. Right, I think, if I remember, this is how Rabbi Turchiner presented it, right? The gold standard of what makes something Rishay Yachid is walls, right? Once you're in walls, right, the problems you're dealing with are such a lower level. So looking for those walls, looking for something to be defined unequivocally as Rishay Yachid, not a Rishay Rabin, not a Carmelist, just a Rishay Yachid, right, obviously lowers the gravity of what we're talking about, okay? And it is important to remember, and that's why we're going to look through some of this today, that what makes something a mechitza and what makes it a wall and makes something surrounded by four walls is not just a physical wall built around a enclosure, even though in some places that's literally what you have, right? You go to Alon Shvut, that is what you have, right? You have, right, walls, right? You have a gate which goes around on 3.5 sides, right? What?
Not the whole thing.
Not the whole thing, right? But we'll see. Once you have over three walls, you're in really safe territory. But, you know, that's what you have, right? These are the, right? That's why, like, you know, let's take an example which is even clearer. A hotel, right? In a hotel, you almost definitely, not 100% clear, we can get to that. Right, but in a hotel, you most likely in an apartment building. Find it easier. An apartment building, right? You need an Eruv Chatzerot, right? That's all you need, right? An apartment building is enclosed by walls, and all side is a building. The hallways are, right, owned by the building, not by individuals. To walk from the hallway into people's houses, from people's apartments into the hallway, will require an Eruv Chatzerot, and that's it, right? You don't need anything else, right? So when people go away, when they go to an apartment, they go away to a hotel, right? What it takes is basically being mezak everybody in the Eruv Chatzerot, and that's it, right? It's not like, right? It's not such a complicated business, right? When I was in the Heights, because many of us didn't rely on the Eruv in general, but we wanted to be able to carry within the apartment building, right? I think when I was in 142 Laurel Hill, Shai Schechter, Rabbi Shai Schechter, right, was the one who was mezaket for the whole building, right? He made an Eruv Chatzerot so that those of us who didn't carry, which was a lot of us, right, could at least carry our key or, you know, hide our key under the mat and not have to worry about, am I opening the door the right way? Okay, so that's why we care, right? Something's Rishay Yachid, right? We have lowered the bar significantly. Solving the problems are relatively easy. If you continue, right, you have the Shilto. Number three says, Eidu Rishay Yachid, Charit Shamok Asara Tvachim, Rochav Arba Tvachim, V'chein Atel Shigavo Asara, V'rochav Arba, Zer Rishay Yachid, Gmura. Okay, now, let's, for a moment, you know, now, again, there is, obviously, lumdas you can get into, and we'll come back to it in a minute, on Gemura and not Gemura. But let's look for a moment, let's skip down to number five. Does Rishus HaYachid need walls? Right? So as we said, the cases discussed in the Gemara, one of them has walls, two of them do not have obvious walls, right? A charitz and a tail do not have obvious walls. But is that true? Right? Is it that there are two types of Rishus HaYachid, those that have walls and those that don't? Or do we have to be expansive in how we understand the notion of a wall? And Ray Michal Zilberman has an excellent article in the Kol Tzvi on Erevin, also on YU Torah, where he notes this seems to be a fundamental machloket rishonim, which is pretty consistent. to just illustrate the two positions, he notes that the clearest position that thinks that you need walls is Rashi, and that you don't need walls is the Meiri. So let us just quickly look at this. So if you look at the Gemara in, I guess, 5, whatever happened there, the Gemara in Erevin Sadi Beis. So the Mishnah says, Gag gadol samuch lekatan, if you have a big roof, which is juxtaposed to a small one, hagadol mutar vakatan asur. So you are allowed to carry in the big one, because the small one acts as to... need pictures, right? If you have a big, right? Let me do this. You have a marker?
Yeah, I have one.
Okay. Right? Right, so basically here, right, you need to enclose the fourth wall here, right, with some form of a lechi kara, right, something, right? So if you have a big roof, right, which then goes into a small roof, so from the vantage point of the small roof, it looks open. From the vantage point of the big roof, it looks closed, right? It looks like there's something on the fourth wall, right? Because you have these things jutting out, right? That's all it's saying, right? So if you have that, so Hagadol Mutar, right? Here, where you see these, right, walls, so it's Mutar to carry here, but not here, because here you perceive it as being fully open on the fourth side. Chatzer Gdola Shenifritzel Ketana, Gdola Mutar to Ketana, Asurab Meneishi, Kipit Chashal Gadol, right? Same. Now, if you have a Chatzer, same thing, right? The big one is mutter. This is considered from the vantage point, the big one to just be, you know, the opening to it. But from the small one into the big one, right, you can't carry in the small one, because from the vantage point of being in the small one, it looks like it's open without the fourth side having any sort of tikkun. So the Gemara says, Gemara, lama lelemitni tarte, aren't these identical cases, right? My terrible picture. I can just, right, all I have to do is write, you know, Chatzer or Gag, right? The same picture twice, right? Why do you need to tell me it's two cases, right? So the Gemara says, L'rav k'tani Gag dum yid chatzer, ma chatzer minkara mechitzta av Gag nami minkara mechitzta. The Gemara says, because you wanted to compare them and you wanted to make it clear that we're talking about in a chatzer, right? It's clear, right? The wall is clear, right? This wall is an actual wall, and therefore you can see it, right? We want to make clear the type of Gog we're talking about is not like a Gog where you don't perceive it, right? You could theoretically have, like, right, two Gogs, there's no, right, no walls of any sort, and it just happens to be that it comes like this. You don't see anything, right? Like, this would be what you actually walk... Okay, it's hard to do this, but, right, there are no walls jutting up, right? You might think that that's fine. The Gemara is, right, the Gemara is saying, no. The reason, like, in a chatzer, you think about it, you're back, you know, you have a yard, right, it has some walls around it, right, we need it that there's something visible, because that's acting as the tikkun, right, it's not just enough to have, right, like a space that looks sort of like that, right, from, this can be the bird's eye view, but it can't actually be flat, right, there actually needs to be some sort of mechitza, right, that's the Gemara's point. But in that context, Rashi writes, Avgag, nihinami disharin le mechitza tachtonot mishum gud osik, and Rashi says that the reason is because what is going to permit this space is the principle of good asik, right? So we have two principles that come up throughout Erevin, throughout Sukkah, throughout any time you're talking about walls, which are good asik and good achit, right? That you have, right, once you have a wall, it can halachically extend up or down with certain limitations, but under certain circumstances. And Rashi says that in this case, you can only rely on good asik to permit this gog, right? If the wall is recognizable, if you can actually perceive that the wall is there. Now that's a sugya in and of itself, which I don't want to get into too deeply. But the point is that Rashi says, why is this gog a rishus hayachid? Right, the Rishus HaYachid, because it has walls. It doesn't look like it has walls. No, it has walls. And then he says this whole Gemara is qualifying under what circumstances can you employ good asik. But what's clear is that in order for this to be a Rishus HaYachid for Rashi, he needs to explain why that this thing that doesn't look like it has walls, halachically, has walls. Right? Because Rashi thinks the Rishus HaYachid has walls. Okay? And Rashi is consistent in this position. Right, if you look at number 7, when the Gemara says, right here, the Gemara picks up, Amai Karile Gimura, why do you call this a Rishus HaYachid, right, a pure Rishus HaYachid? So, Right, the Gemara says, right, whenever you call something Rishus HaYachid, you can mean that at two levels. You can mean it's actually Rishus HaYachid, meaning you're allowed to carry, or you can say it's Rishus HaYachid, meaning you're not allowed to, you're not chayiv if you take from a Rishus HaRabim into it. Right, those are the two implications of a pure Rishus HaYachid. Right? Right? Again? Right? A Rishus HaYachid, right? There are two things that are important about Rishus HaYachid, right? One is that you're chayav if you carry from Rishus HaRabim into it. The other is that you're allowed to carry within it, right? So the Gemara says, you might have thought that in this case, what we're talking about is, right, hani mili litaltel, meaning, they're avalizrok module, meaning, right, they're arguing about whether it's a full one, right? Meaning, they, right, so lizrok means that it's not that you're not allowed to carry within it, but you won't be chayev, right? Sorry, no, other way around. You will be chayev, right? Lizrok means you will be chayev if you throw from Rishus HaRabim because the arise is Rishus HaYachid, but litaltel, right? It's still usher because it requires some other tikkun, right? So the Gemara is saying is you might have thought that the issue at hand, right, is maybe this is a Rishus HaYachid, right, on a Daraisa level, but it needs a tikkun d'rabanan. So the Gemara says, when we say Gemura, what we mean is, anytime we say Rishus HaYachid Gemura, what we mean is, right, both with the Isser component of it, meaning your Chayav, and the Heter component, you can carry. Yeah.
So let's go into the Chayav, but we also can carry in that
Chayav. Correct. Right, meaning, because that's, right, because obviously, right, it's Rishus HaYachid need Daraisa, right, but it's midrabanan, it needs an Eruch HaTzera. Right, so these cases, the Gemara says, whenever we say Rishus HaYachid Gemura, what we mean is it's Rishus HaYachid, right? Mamish. Now you can have Rishus HaYachid where you need, right, an Eruch Hatzera, right? Meaning, like in a hotel, right, or an apartment building, that's a pure Rishus HaYachid. But the Gemara is saying at this stage, right, even prior, meaning it's not a Karmelis, right? It's a Rishus HaYachid. Okay, but again, Rashi there says, Klomar. Zoe Shinigra Minyan Mechitzot Shalah. This is something that has walls, the right number of walls. Sheyesh la Mechitzot Mikol Tzad. It has walls on all four sides. Kigon Charitz, like a ditch. V'chein Gader. Darminan Me'arbat Tzadin, good Osik. V'neya Mechitzot Arosho. Nimtza Rosho Mukav Me'arbat Tzadin, Chalo Arbag. Right? So Rashi says, right, not just that which has walls is a Rishus HaYachid with four walls. A ditch is also a four-walled structure. Because good Asik tells us that the walls of the pit, right, are halachic walls and they go up. Right? So again, Rashi is very consistent in this. On the other hand, if you look at 9, 10, and 11, right, Meiri in several places says that this is not true, right? We can look at one of them, right? Quickly, right? He says, Ezer Rishus HaYachid, Ko Rishushu Amuk Asar Rachav Arba, Umishamu Lamala. Hein shu charitz, hein shu tel gadesh and sham shanalav, afo bish ein sham mechitzot, hein bi adam, hein bi de shamayim, hein shu karka shava shemuka barba mechitzot gabehen, asara uvenein dalet al dalet. Right? All these rishus hayachid, even though they have no walls, na bi de adam, na bi de shamayim. If you skip to 11, the Meiri is even clearer, and he says, "V'yesh shohalim b'shmua zo mimash amru mesechet Shabbat b'perek azarek shem zarek even al tel gavoa asara b'Shabbat chayev imnei shehu reshut hayachid amalo b'inan mechitzot nikarot." Right, without getting to all the details, right, Meiri says, "Why are there halachot that are inconsistent between Shabbos and Sukkah?" Right, that's the fundamental upshot of his question. You can ask this 10 times in Masechet Sukkah, right? Why is it that not every halacha that's true in Shabbos is true in Sukkah and vice versa? Right? Why by Sukkah do we require more walls? Right? If in Shabbos we don't always need walls, right? I mean, why can't you just have a Sukkah, right, which is naniach a tail, right? Have a little, mound, and then hang schach, right, on top, and have an open air Sukkah with no walls, right? Why can't you do that, right? That's essentially his question, right? Why can't you do that? And he says, "V'ein zu sheila." This is not even a question. Shebezo iata Sarich Balabur Asig, Acha Zerich Bal Machitza Nikarod. She'ena tam elevene, she kol she gavosar avarachav arba, eno tashmishel b'nei reshut arabim. V'dino kershut ayachid, af lo mechitzot. Avu besoka mechitzot, le mechitzot, anu tzrichim, v'im kena davar, tzarech le mechitzot, nikir, nikarot. The Miri says, it's very simple. Because by sukkah you need walls, and by Shabbos, you need a space which is not usable by the rabim. Right? These are not the same thing. Right? Correct. And exactly. Right. And Miri is just saying, right, and that's right. I said that Chakira sort of runs through, right, in many different ways throughout. And Miri very much says, look, we don't need walls. What we need is something that's set off from Rosh Hasharabim. One way to do that is if you're on the same plane as a Rosh Hasharabim, so how do you stop the Rabim from coming in? A wall. Right? You know, your house, right? Think about it. Right? The only thing that stops the world from coming to your house is that there is a wall. Right? If you are on the top of some mountain somewhere, right? Not Everest, which has traffic on it, right? If anyone's been watching the recent news on Mount Everest. No, okay, anyways. Mount Everest has a problem, right? It has traffic because too many people are going up to Mount Everest. Right, because it's but some other random mountain in the middle of nowhere. Right, the reason that the Rabbim aren't coming there is it's hard to get to. Right, the reason if you have a right in the middle of the Rosh Hasharabim, you have a 5-6 foot mound, and you manage to climb up on top. Right, the reason people aren't walking on it is because they don't want to climb. And even if there are stairs to get up there, right, it takes right. It's separate. It's separated off from the Rosh Hasharabim, and that's what the Miri says. Right, that you don't need walls. I gave you the Rav in 12. I'll say it outside. He's just expanding in maybe even a clearer language than Reb Chaim. But it all right. This is all based on Reb Chaim and Hilchos Sukkah. There are slightly different variations of this, but the basic argument that Reb Chaim and the Rav make, and again in slightly different ways, is that there's a difference between Shabbos and Sukkah. Sukkah. You need a chetza, as he puts it, you need a chetza of mechitzot, right? You actually need mechitzot, right? That's the easiest way of saying. You need walls, right? In Rosh Hasharabim is you need a place which is set off, right? Which is set off from the Rosh Hasharabim. Now, you could say you need walls, just halachic walls, rather, right? Now, again, this distinction is true for Rashi also, right? Because Rashi will agree that a sukkah needs mechitzot nikarot. Right, I mean, the same lamdos is true, just different degrees. Right, Rashi will say sukkah requires mechitzot nikarot, and everything else just needs halachic walls. Right, and the Meiri will say no. By sukkah you need walls, and by Rosh Hasharabim you just need to be set off. But that seems to be the fundamental difference between them. But you have this consistent distinction throughout. I gave you in 13, 14, and 15 yet another expression of this. But this seems to be one of the expressions of this. I'll say this outside, is the sugya of Gidud Chamisha or Mechitza Chamisha. Right? This is a bit of a complicated sugya in Gittin, where the Gemara is going through a series of cases where you try to combine two halachic mechanisms that both independently accomplish a goal, but not in the same way. Can they combine? Right? So the Gemara has a series of cases like that. One of them is, right, a ditch which is 5 tefachim deep with a mechitza of 5 tefachim on top of that. Is that considered a reshus hayachid? and there, right, Tosros makes the comment. There, Tosros argues that it might be right the opposite, right, Lakula, that it might be good for a sukkah, but not good for Shabbos. And the Rav argues, essentially, the logic is that by a sukkah, when you're inside the sukkah, now you will feel, right, you're inside the sukkah, right? The emphasis is, are you enclosed by a sukkah? And the answer is, yes, you are, right? You're enclosed by mechitzot, right? But for Shabbos, you're not set off enough from the Rosh Hasharabim because it's only 5 tefachim deep, and there's only a 5 tefach wall, right? So you could argue, right, that maybe you would paskin ein mitzdarfin by Shabbos and mitzdarfin by sukkah, because sukkah, which is inside focused, right? Am I within mechitzot, rather than am I set off from the outside? Right, you are enclosed by mechitzot, even if you're not set off by the outside. Right, so this doesn't necessarily this can cut lakula or lachumra in both directions. Right, but the point is the fundamental distinction is that by Shabbos you don't necessarily need walls. right? Bein l'kula bein l'chumra, right? And by sukkah, you need walls, right? Or in other words, you're inside focused rather than outside focused, right? Or cheftah shel sukkah focused rather than, right? However you want to, right? Take whichever formulation. You can find different ones. What?
Accessibility.
Yeah, right. Accessibility focused, right? To use the formulation we've been using, right? However you want to do it, okay? But that seems to be consistently a machlokes rishonim. Again, whether Rishus HaYachid is that which requires walls or that there are really two fundamental different types of Rishus HaYachid. Limay nafkamina, right? Is there any nafkamina to that question? So the potential nafkamina that there might be is in number 20 in the Ramban. The Ramban argues that the halacha Rishus HaRab, Rishus HaYachad Ola Lab Adla Rakia only applies to Rishus HaYachad which has walls and not a Rishus HaYachad that is just an amud. Right? Now this would be a good nafkamina to this question, right? Would be to say, look, right? If you think that these are two fundamentally different types of Rishus HaYachad, so then they may have a different status, right? That which has walls is, in some sense, a greater Rishus HaYachid. It's not just set off, right? It also has a active enclosure, and therefore, it is now, right? Once you've created such a thing, it goes for all of eternity, right? As opposed to an Amud, which is just set off, so look, you know, it's a Rishus HaYachid where it is, but, you know, once this Rishus HaYachid becomes irrelevant, so then it's irrelevant. Now, this actually does have some halachic nafkaminas in to what I gave you here between 17 and 17, 18 is the question of whether the Gemara has a case of a roof. So if you have a roof, right, and it's just a plain roof, right, and it ends, I can't draw 3D, right, it just ends, right, like you're on a flat roof and then it just ends. So you're allowed to carry on that roof, right? But let's say it now opens into a space, right, beyond the house, right? So is this kosher? The Gemara says it's not, right?
It
has an overhang. Right, so the Gemara says, then you can't carry on any of it. Right, you can't carry on any of it. Now, why can't you carry on any of it? So, right, the Rush, following Rashi's position, says, because the only reason you're allowed to carry on the roof to begin with is good osik, and once you have this thing jutting out, right, so now the wall is sort of stopped by a new wall. Right, so it can't. What? Well, we'll get to how many walls you need. Let's for a moment assume it's like this, okay? Okay, fine. Whatever. Tosfos says that's not what it is, right? Tosfos says that it is nifratz l'makom ha'asur. Right? It's nifratz l'makom ha'asur, right? It opens into an usur place and becomes usur by, right? By extension. Based on this, Moshe argues that you see that according to Tosvos, the halacha of Rishus HaYachid Ola Lad L'Rakia is not dependent on walls. Right? Because Tosvos is no problem, right? Good Asik is stopped by a wall. Right? He just says the reason this Gog is Asur is for a side reason, which is Nifrat L'Makom Asur. And therefore, Moshe says what you see from here is that no, Rishus HaYachid is Olol Adla Rakia, with or without a machitzer. It doesn't make a difference. It's just a halacha in Rishus HaYachid, right? In sort of the Meiri-esque way. And this ends up being a machlokes between Rav Moshe and the Chazon Ish, right? Rav Moshe paskins that Rishus HaYachid Olol Adla Rakia, with or without walls, because there's one type of Rishus HaYachid and that's it. The Chazon Ish says no, Rishus HaYachid Olol Adla Rakia depends on walls. And he reinterprets Tosfos. He doesn't even think Tosfos means this. But there are, right, so there are potential nafkaminas to this question, which is, do you paskin that Rishus HaYachid Ola Adla Rakia, right, is true of all Rishus HaYachid because they're all the same, right, or not? Now, this may also manifest itself, there is a bit of a machlokas in the Achronim of exactly how big does this space have to be to cause problems? Right? A tefach, three tefach, four tefach, right? So if you think that the problem here is that it stops mechitza hanikeres, so even they say a tefach might be enough to do that. If you think it's nifras l'makom ha'asur, right? So then it might be three or four tefachim, which is a makom, right? There are, on the margin, certain actual quantifiable nafkaminas to this question, how much you think this is about nifras l'makom ha'asur and stopping mechitza hanikeres. If this comes up, look back at the Chazonish and Rav Moshe, and I don't know about you. I don't know if this is usually the Shiloh people that they ask in it. Okay, fine. Next, I gave you some more sources you can look at it. Okay, how many walls do you need? So again, this is a machlok as we've shown him. That depends on many, many sugyot. So let's look through a few of them. So the Gemara in number 21, back to the Gemara in Davav and Shabbos, says, Chatzir chal rabim umuvot she'enam mefulashin ervu mutarin lo ervu asurim. Right, if you have a chatzer or a mavui, which is right not mafulosh, again these things are rishus hayachid, right? They're rishus hayachid. They only need an eruv. So if you put an eruv, you can carry. If not, not right. They don't need any other tikkun besides for an eruv. Fine. 22. You have the Mishnah says hechsher mavui beishamim lechi v'kora beizalomrim o lechi o. So how do you fix a mavui? So the halacha is that in a mavui, you need to fix it, according to Beis Shammai, with a lechi and a kara, a side beam and a overhang, a cross beam. Bezil says, oze, oze. Now, the lechi and kara takes up a lot of the lumdus and ervin, and halacha l'maisa is completely irrelevant, because, as we will see, we all are makbid on a chumrah that the Ramah quotes to only use Tzuras HaPesach. So if you want lumdus, lechi and kara, great. You want halacha l'maisa, the reason everyone just spends time in Tzuras HaPesach is because once you have the Ramah, we never rely on lechi and kara, with the possible exception that it's not totally clear that the Ramah means that you always need a Tzuras HaPesach, or that you can't actively make a tikkun except the Tzuras HaPesach. The nafka mina being a case that has a natural lechi or kara, can you rely on that b'di'evet? Right? That's where things get a little bit murky. Right, and that's when lechi and kara might come into play. Right, there are cases where you have this. Right, you have like sort of a right some sort of structure that has a jutting out building that creates a de facto lechi. Right, then you might have a little bit of room for flexibility. But despite that, rov hazman, what we're talking about is Tzuras HaPesach. But in the Gemara, they're still talking lechi and kara. They didn't know about the Ramah yet. So Amar Rav Yehuda. There's reason for the Ramah, but we'll get to that. Amr Yehuda, Hachi Kalmar, Hechsher Mavui Sasum Ketzad. So there are two types of Mavuis that you have to know, right? A Mavui Sasum is, right? Anyone, you're from Toronto? Yeah, you're from Toronto. Okay, so if anyone knows Toronto, if you don't know Toronto, this will be unhelpful to you, right? But a Mavui Sasum, right, is like this, right? It's like closed on three sides and open at the fourth, right? If anyone has ever been to Thornhill, right? Thornhill is literally built by a bunch of Mavui Sasums, right? Like where I lived, this is literally how I lived on a street called Tangreen, where the street, right, lest you think that Mavuis don't exist nowadays, they do, right? It's surrounded like this. This is the main street, this is Bathurst, right? There's a brick wall here, this is Clark, and this is a brick wall here, right, with two. I was learning Erevin when I first moved in here, and that's all I thought about, right? With two ways to get out of the diagonal, a brick wall here, and then houses along here with a fence that goes here. So four walls, and then inside you have, right, three Mavui Kamin heads, right? These, like, X things, right? And one street, and there's only one way in and out, right? This is a Mavui Sasu, right? Okay? A Mavui Mafulash. Right? Okay? Which, where I was living, so this is, over here, probably Mufulash, this was a street called Atkinson. If you don't know Toronto, forget that. But basically, right, these things still exist, right? There was a reason why I learned Erevin. I literally just read through a undergraduate thesis, which was written about the architectural decisions made to make Thornhill the way it was, and it was actually made for basically the reasons that are defined in the Gemara. It's built by Jews, for Jews, right? And it was meant to control traffic, right? That's why things are made this way, right? It was meant to make it hard to drive through, but theoretically accessible by walking, right? Which is Pachot Yoter, not exactly, but basically what Mavois are supposed to do, right, is to slowly have different gradations of traffic as you move out. Okay? So, Hashem Mavois Sassim Ketad, Beshamay Omrim Lechi, Vikora Beshamay Omrim Olechi Okora, Beshamay Omrim Lechi Vikora, Lememra de Kasari Beshamay Arba Machitas de Araisa. So the Gemara says, there's the reason Beshamay think you need this because he thinks you need four walls. Whoa! Right now, why does the Gemara think that? So the Gemara says, at this point, the Gemara assumes that what is he saying? That Mavois Sassim has three walls, so if he requires Dafka Alechi rather than a Korah, it must mean that he wants a fourth wall. Right? He wants a fourth wall. So does that mean that we can derive from here that Beis Shammai thinks that you need Arba Mechitzos in order that something can be Rosh Hashanah Yachid? That's why you always want you to have a Lechi, and Beis Hillel, by implication, only needs, right? Well, not four walls, right? And therefore, he thinks that on the fourth wall you can just put a Korah, which the Gemara will say is a Heker, not a Mechitza. Right? It's just a crossbeam. Right? It doesn't create a wall. It's just a Heker. It's just a, right, it reminds you that you are now leaving the Mavui. So Gemara says, lo, Lizrok, Mishalosh, Shud, Mechayev. He says, no, maybe Beis Shammai thinks you need three walls. And it's saying, if you throw from the Rishus HaRabim into here, so then you're Chayev, because it means all right, it's the Rishus HaYachid. Right? It's just with an Isser Tiltul. But Letaltel al Dik Arba. And for the Heter of carrying, he wants that fourth wall, but that's only the Rabbanan. Does this mean that Beisil thinks you only need three walls? He says, maybe not. Lo, Lizrok Mishtaim with the Mechayev. Maybe Beisil thinks he will only need two walls, right, on a D'oraisa level. Right? And therefore you'd be Chayev, and you throw into this. Right? But to carry, he wants three walls plus a Heker of some sort, a Lechi or Korah. Right, so in this Gemara, the Gemara opens the possibility, right, that Beis Shammai holds you need four walls and then rejects it and says you can only prove he needs three, and that Beis Hillel, it's Habamina, is that you can prove he needs three, and the Maskana Midaraisa, you only need two. It's not clear whether that's a Dichoy or that's actually how he holds, right, meaning the Gemara just says that from here you can't prove, right, that Beis Hillel requires three. It could be he requires two. But here the Gemara has, right, therefore opened up three possibilities theoretically, right? Four walls, three walls, two walls, right? Those are your, right, possibilities now floating around in the Gemara between Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel. Now, so skip down to 26. The Gemara says as follows, Amar Rav Yehuda, Mavoi Sheino Ra'oi L'Shituf, Hechsheru B'Lechi, Hazorah glatochol chayav, hechshiru bikora hazorah glatochol patur. Almak savar lechi mishum mechitza bikora mishum eker. So this is probably the main Gemara that the Rishonim actually derive their maskanot from. So the Gemara says that if you have a mavui, so according to Rabbi Yehuda, if you fix the mavui with a lechi, so then. Right, so the Gemara, this is the Lumdish Sugya, which everybody loves in Erevin, and has, like I said, is almost no halachic nafkamina, but this one line is like a million Lumdish Shirim. But the Gemara says that if you have a Mavui, right, so, according to Rabbi Yehuda, if you throw from a Rishus HaRabim into the Mavui, so if you have a Lechi, so now you're Chayav Mida Oraisa, because he thinks that Lechi functions. Right, the heter of lechi, the heter of allowing you to carry an amavoi through a side post is by creating another wall. Right, if you put a korah, so then this is the reason you're allowed to carry is because it is a heker, but therefore it doesn't transform the d'oraisa status. Right, so essentially, according to the Gemara, a mavoi with a lechi for a Yehuda is a Rishus HaYachid, and a Mavui with a Korah is a Karmelis with a Heter Tiltul. Okay? Now, the Machlok as we've shown him here is, what type of Mavui are we talking about and how many walls are there? Meaning, it's clear that, according to Yehuda, if we add this wall, it goes from being a Karmelis with a Heter Tiltul into Rishus HaYachid. But how many walls are on this mavui that we are talking about, and what does that teach us about how many walls you need? And that is in Machlokas Rishonim. So the Rambam in 27 says, mavui she'ein berachos shlosha tochem, ein etzarch lo lechi velo kara muter l'taltel bikula. Right, so if you have a mavui that is less than 3 tvachim wide, I don't know where you have such a mavui, but if you have such a mavui, right, it's, I guess, you know, like you have to walk through like this, right? Fine. Even like this, I can't imagine I could fit in one, I don't know. Umut, so you don't need anything. You can carry. Shekol pachut mishlosha reyu kelavud. Mavui shechshiru bikora, aval pishel muter l'taltel bikulo, kirushus ayachet azorg mitochol lirushus harabim lirushus ram l'tochol patur. But he paskins like Rabbi Yehuda, right? That a kora is mishum heker, and therefore if you throw into a mavui with a kora, you are patur because this is rishus harabim into a karmelis. It's a karmelis with a heter tiltul. Shakor mishum heker hi asuya. Aval mechshiro bilechi, but if you use a lechi, so zorg mitochol rishus harabim or rishus ram l'tochol chayiv shalechi areyu kemechitza beruach revius. Right? And from here you learn that the Rambam Shita is how many walls do, right? How many walls do you need? You need, well, right, 3 and a little bit, right, of a fourth wall, right? So if you look at the Rambam again, you look at number 29, right? Achsadra bevika mutter letalta bikula. If you have a what's the English for an achsadra? Whatever. What? Yeah, it's like a gazebo, maybe it's an English word, I don't know. Something like that. So you're allowed to carry an aval bishi shalosh mechitzot v'tikra, right? Even though it has 3 walls and a roof. She'anu ro'en ki'ilu pitikra yorid v'sosim ruach revius. And why? Because of halacha called pitikra yorid v'sosim, right? Which we'll come to. I put sources on that a little bit later. Because the roof, when a roof comes to a flat edge at the end, right, we create a halachic invisible wall, and therefore it has 4 walls. So again, the Rambam says, right, how many walls do you need to make something a rishus hayachid? The answer is 4, right? 4. Not 4 full walls, but 4 walls, right? 3 walls plus halachic wall, right? Either 3 plus lechi, 3 plus pitikra, right? The Rambam in general is very machmir on what exactly you can use, but the Rambam's basic shita is that you need 4 walls. Right? Admittedly, not 4 complete, but 4 walls. The Ravid, if you look at 28, and Rashi goes this way as well. What?
3 walls in a Korah
would be a karmelis with a heter tiltul, and therefore if you threw from Rishus HaRabim into it, or from it to Rishus HaRabim, correct. It would be mutter to carry within it, but it wouldn't be Rishus HaYachid. It would be a karmelis with a heter tiltul. Right? Right?
Okay, so that's
Kula. Correct. In that case, we go Lakula, right? Meaning, yes. The Ravid says in 28, Amar Avraham Amilza Kasha Tuva came to Mutl Talda Bakula Alma Bamava Sheshlo Shalosh Mechitas Kamar Vekaimelon the Shalosh Mechitas Taraisim Kenech Shir Bekara My Pater Chibo Chachamim Lahakel B'Shatara Latino Kara. He says, I don't understand, what are you talking about? He's saying, why do you assume that we're talking about is 3 walls, right? What we're talking about is, we're talking about a Mavi Mefulosh, right? Not a Mavi Sasum, right? The Rambam thinks we're talking about a Mavi Sasum, and therefore he draws the conclusion, need 4 walls. The Ravid says, why would you assume that? We're talking about, Rashi says this explicitly, we're talking about a mavui mafulash. And what the Gemara is saying, that 3 walls is the de'araisa, and that's how Shulchan Aruch, so Shulchan Aruch paskens in 31, magum sheshul shalosh mechitzos azur cham l'taltavo ashi yaseh shum tikun birivius. Now the Ber Halacha explains the machlokas. Right, he says, "Well, in any mikro, which is a yachid men a Torah lachayim azorik mitochol, which is a rabim yish plukta b'zeh bein rishonim dildas a Rambam looking which is a rabim men a Torah l'barma b'vos mechitzos oh al kolpanim b'shalosh mechitzos shleimos v'lechi b'kotel revi dechashiv kimechitza b'chein das arach." Right, the Rambam, right, the Ber Halacha says the Rambam needs 4, by which we mean 3 plus, right, 3 walls plus a halachic wall, right, a lechi, a pitikra, take your pick. Right, that's the Rambam, that's Rabbeinu Chananel. He says, Achein, Ladas Rov Haposkim, Bishlosha Mechitzos, O Bishte Mechitzos Velechi, Rishuzi Yachid Gamur, Mina HaTorah. right? Rove Rishonim said it's 2 plus, right? 2 plus is Irshus HaYachid Min HaTorah. And then if you skip down, he says, V'da, De'ein Nafka Min HaLadei Azu, Im Shtei HaMachitzot Hevi Kamin Game O Shtei Machitzot. He said, when we say two walls, the Gemara's case is a Mavoi Mefulosh, but the same thing would be true of an L, right? The same thing would be true of an L. According to that Shita, it would be Irshus HaYachid as well. The gambas and mikrishu yachid min haTorah came and sheisho od lechi. As long as you got that fourth halachic wall going on, achein im rishus harabim maalechas min hamachitzos. Right, the case which will cause problems, and we'll come back to this at the end, is if you have a rishus hayachid walking through it, that might prevent these from being mitzaref and create a rishus harabim. Now he notes that there is a third shita. Look at the end, and I gave you the taz that he quotes, four lines from the end. He says, "Vada o deish ktsas mereshem jozen achrab ben ashitos." There's actually a third shita, right? So there's the Rambam who thinks that you need 3 plus, right? This is the Rambam, right? Then you have Rashi who says you need 2 plus, and then you have Vada the o deish ktsas mereshem jozen achrab ben ashitos, and move of taz. The Ridvaz, a third shita, which, and this comes back to our accessibility issues, who says that it depends, right? If you have two walls, so, if it opens into Rishus HaRabim, so then this is not a Rishus HaYachid. Why? Because it only has two walls, and the reality is that Rabim will sometimes come in, which makes it not private. Right? It is accessed by the Rabim. If it opens into a something else, right? Not a Rishus HaRabim, so then two walls will be sufficient to make it Rishus HaYachid D'Oraisa. So, the Rambam and Rashi both seem to think Rishus HaYachid is just about walls, right? Just a question of how many, right? The Ritva says it's a combination of walls plus access to, however, right? Access to Rishus HaRabim, right? That walls do two things, right? One is they set it off from Rishus HaRabim, right? Meaning, according to the Rambam and Rashi, walls seem to be intrinsically important here, right? It's only about the walls. However, the Ritva says, no, walls, and this may be similar to the Meiri, right? That walls are there to separate it from Rishus HaRabim. So therefore, you could have more walls, or you could have walls and then a physical separation between it and the Rishus HaRabim, right? If it's both a quiet place and it has two walls and a little bit, that'll be enough, right? But if you have walls, but the Rabim are lemais actually going in, then the two walls and a little bit didn't help you, and therefore it's not a Rishus HaRabim because it has walls, right? But it's not Rishus HaYachid because it's not actually private. Right?
This was like, so, shared funds, she's not moving to this place.
Correct, correct.
But not talking about when I make the air around the city, I must be not to be caught on that air.
Correct. So, now, right, the reason this is important, now, why is this important? Right? So again, right, because as we've been saying, so all of this, you'll still have an Isser Tiltal in all these, right? The reason is because, if you have, right? What? Right. Well, the reason is obviously, right? The more something's Rishus HaYachid, right? Obviously, the more, right? The lower level we're starting with, right? If the Safig is, are we talking about something which might be Rishus HaRabim, we actually have to put up Mechitzos, right? You're in more trouble, right? If something is Vadei Rishus HaYachid, it's only a question of Eir Chatziros, right? It's more Mekil. But yeah, Rove of this, the Nafkamina is, right, a question of Kliyuv D'Oraisa, which, again, you have to know this, but it's not like it comes up Yom Yom. Okay. Now, now we're going to move relatively quickly through these. A few things you have to know about walls is that, as I said, walls aren't only walls. Okay? I mean, this is important. If you come to Efrat, right, you will see, right, that, let's say you look at the, anyone's been to Efrat, right? Do you know what it looks like at all? Okay, you see this in a lot of places. Any of these should have been built on mountaintops, right? You know how some of the mountains, right, are like either naturally or artificially, right, human-made? Basically, right, come down at a slant, and like the occupied part of the yeshuv sort of stands on the top of the hill, right? So those, right, walls, right, those walls made by the mountain are walls, right? Those are halachic walls, right? And if you are at the bottom, right, like I'm in the Giva, right? So like, right? So I'm here, right? I live down here, right? This could theoretically be a wall for me, right? But how do you make a wall out of a slope, right? So the halacha is, right, I mean, it's clear, right, first of all, walls don't have to be man-made, right? Let's just be clear, right? They don't have to be man-made, right? Especially ones that are not man-made, right, this becomes important, which is, okay, if the mountain goes like this, or sometimes it does, so this is clearly a wall, right, on one side. What happens if it goes like this, like most mountains do? So this is what the Gemara says, Amar Yehuda Marav, Tel ha-mislaket asar mitoch arba v'zark v'nach al-gabav chayev, right? The halacha is asar mitoch arba. What does asar mitoch arba mean? This is a machlokes haposkim, okay? And I just gave you the brief summary of it because I don't want to get into it too much, and it will probably not come up too often, but the basic machlokes is, what is the arba that we're talking about, right? Are we talking about the y-axis, right? Are we talking about the y-axis, or are we talking about the hypotenuse, right? The nafka mina, I gave you the, if you're not so good at math and you forget sine and cosine and all that stuff, right? The nafka mina to that question of how we judge the 10 by 4 is a difference of whether, right? So is it 4, right? Or is it, right? Or is it, right, is the 4 the, I think this is the Y, or is it the X? What are the, what is the standard? X? The X-axis, sorry. So you can change that on the sheet to the X-axis, okay? Or is it the hypotenuse, okay? The nafka mina is, in order for everything to be a del mislaki, does it have to be 24.62 degrees, or what did I say? 22.62 degrees, okay? If it comes down to this, look it up. It's in Machlokas Achronim, how we paskin. The Bechofer in his book and the Nisibo Shabbos of Rebloy paskin that it is the hypotenuse and therefore the angle that is relevant is 24.62 degrees. There are other it is a suffix, however, in the Maral Bach, right? Whether okay, different posts can go different ways. How often this happens to you, I don't know, right? But just know that there are, especially in mountainous places and Erevin that are being built in, let's say, the valley, right? The combination of the fact that you're allowed to use a natural wall, right, and the fact that, right, very steep walls can therefore be a tel mislaket, this can be one of your walls. Now, it can also be man-made, right? Meaning you could have, right, your wall doesn't necessarily have to be, right, straight. It can be a very, very, very steep whatever. Whatever you're doing. Right, we'll get to a ramp in just a second, right, because that might be mechitzan adreset. Okay, that's just one point to know. Again, it can theoretically come up depending on where you're talking about an Erev. I think the Efrat Erev does rely on this for some of the walls, though I'm not 100% sure, but I think either it does or it should. I don't know. Yeah. It's not so steep. It's not insanely steep. No, it's pretty... Yeah, yeah.
And the point is that this is considered essentially upright, like a wall?
Yeah. Yeah, for... Yeah.
Flat.
Yeah, not flat, but yeah. Yeah, if you want to look here, you can I pass it around. You can look at, right, Simon's very nice little picture, but yes. Yeah. I mean, it's not like flat, but yeah. It's. Anyways. Okay. Another one. Water. Okay. This one, I'm going to throw it very quickly. Water. Is water a... So the... So the Gemara in... Yeah, anyways. Well, we're going to come back to Mechitza and address it. We'll come back to Mechitza and address it. Yeah. Correct. In the army, it comes up a lot. Yes. Right? Meaning, a lot of these shaylas that don't come up ever in the community, right? Whenever you look in Tchumen, the reason these are always going up is, can you use this in the army? Because we're in a B'dievet situation, we're stuck in the middle of a pikah, right? What can you do, right? Half the tshuvot, like, on these weird ones are army questions. In a chanami. In the army, when you're, right, when you have, like, an hour before Shabbos, and, like, you realize in the middle, and you look around, you say, I'm in the middle of a valley, right? The walls of the mountain, both act as camouflage and a machitza, Baruch Hashem. Right? Okay, fine. Right? Good times. Another one. Okay, water. So, very quickly, the Gemara at some point asks a rhetorical question and says, shouldn't the entire world be a Rishus HaYachid? This is number 35. I actually put this in bed. Okay, I'm sorry. I decided not to read this inside. So, the machitza and dress, I'll read this now. There is a machloket, going back to the Talmud Mislake, whether what I just said is true in a case where it's something that people are meant to walk on or not. So the big machloket aposkin that comes up is about stairs, right? Because stairs, right, you don't have to worry about the incline, right? Stairs are mamish. You have parts of it that are like this, but they're meant to be walked on, I hope, right? Right? And, you know, usually you can walk on them pretty easily, right? Not necessarily always, right? Not alone Shvut, I love how they do it, right, by the kolel, the ramp for the stroller. It's like vertical. You know what I'm talking about? Over the that's the worst. Anyways, it's the worst. I don't know who came up with this. It's like Sakonis Nefashos. But normal stairs and ramps are supposed to be walkable, right? But, so, there is a machlokas achronim about this. Ray Simon has a nice summary of it. Some of the achronim said that, yeah, they'll look, this is just, said that, okay, so the Chacham Sofer said, look, mechitza hanidreset, everyone will agree, is lav shmei mechitza, right? And therefore, stairs, even though for all intents and purposes, it counts as a mechitza hanidreset, is not a mechitza, according to all shittot. Many other achronim said, no, it depends on a different machlokas, which I put at the end, called Asur Rabban Vatli Mechitza, right? There's a machlokas in the Gemara of whether if Rabban passed through an actual Mechitza, does that nullify the effectiveness of a Mechitza? So the Chacham Sofer's argument is that Mechitza Nedreset is worse than Asur Rabban Vatli Mechitza, right? Meaning if you have two Mechitzas, three Mechitza, whatever it is, and Rabban goes through it, right? One could theoretically say it's still Rishus HaYachid because the walls are not nullified from their purpose. It just happens to be that people walk through it. But the Chacham Sofer said, but Mechitza Nedreset, right, is not a mechitza, right? It's stairs, right? It's, right? Or in his case, it wasn't stairs, it was a gesher, right? Same issue. Other achronim said, no, if we paskin asi rabban vatli mechitza, so then stairs will not be mechitza. If you paskin lo asi rabban vatli mechitza, then stairs will also not be mechitza. Will also be a mechitza. I don't know which one I just said there, but will be a mechitza. There we go. Okay. Next one, water, very quickly. The Gemara has this hypothetical and says, shouldn't the entire world be a Rishus HaYachid because it's surrounded by the ocean? From here, there's Rov Poskim said that what we learn from this Gemara is that not that water is a potential mechitza, water is not a mechitza, but that most riverbanks have a sharp-ish incline once you go into the water, right? And therefore, this will probably be a Telem Mislakeit, and therefore be a Rishus HaYachid because of Telem Mislakeit plus good asik, right? Well, yeah. However, the Or Zeruah seems to paskin, and this is how the Marsham takes it, that water is a automatic mechitza, the nafkamina being water that has a very, very, very gradual, right? Yeah, like at the beach, we have a very, very, very gradual, right, incline or decline, right? As you go into the water, right, according to the shita that's good asik, if it's pachos me, right, the talmis lakate, it is not a wall. If you think that mayim is itself a mechitza, then it is. This was a big question in many old Erevin. They really, as far as I know, they use this in almost no modern Erevin. They do in some. There are certain Erevin that I think still use this. But like in the 1905 Erev in Manhattan, this was like all the rage, right? This is like on sides where there was water, they just didn't put a mechitza at all, right? It's mayim, right? It's fine, right? And they would just be like, yeah, Manhattan is one big walled city because it's an island, a small island, as things go, a thin island. And they relied on things like this. There are a lot of old Erevin that actually relied on things like this. Not so much anymore. Not so much anymore. Okay, Pitikra. So, so I would want to tell you that Pitikra never comes up, but that would be a lie. Pitikra was one of actually the main machlokot in the Brooklyn Eruv, and probably still is at Hayom. Though I'm not 100% sure. Pitikra, outside first. Pitikra yard visosim, as I mentioned before, means that if you have a roof that's flat, or alternatively, at the end it's flat, right, as opposed to inclined, right, inclines can create a problem, right, but a flat roof, right, so then halachically you create a wall like that. This doesn't, for Erevin purposes, this doesn't come up all the time. I'll tell you when it does. There's a nice discussion of this in the really good picture book that I showed you, the one from Chicago, the Glenner Francis one. This comes up by porches and by front steps, right? People get all worked up about this, but they point out correctly, and I'm 100% convinced that they are correct. I don't think there's any way around this. Let's say you don't carry in an Erev, or you don't have an Erev in a city, but you have a porch in front of your house, and the roof, right, overhangs, right, your door is over here, right, and then you have this landing, right? So you put your key here, right? Halachically, so if the flat roof, so then Pitikra Yared Vesosim. However, as they point out, most of our roofs are flat. The incline is on top, but this is totally flat, right? You just took a flat roof and then you added incline on top of it so the water would flow off. Right, but here, there's still a perception of it. And therefore, this area over here is probably halachically considered inside your house.
So she's going to know this,
It's because of the perception, right? It's that if it's too, right, if it's flat, right, sort of you have an imaginary wall, right, you sort of see the square. Right, I think that, right, that's how the Poskim seem to talk about it, right, that, like, there's a perception of a wall, right, if it comes to a, right, you know how you, like, you sort of look at it and, right, like, you know, think about this, right, you walk into, right, you walk up somebody's stairs, their front thing, and now you're under the overhang, you sort of feel like you're in it, right, you sort of feel like there should be a, right, like a screen door already, like you're already in the, right, it feels.
If it's on an angle,
and, like, and if it's true,
wherever it ends, I sort of feel like, hey, that's a separate, like, I can understand.
Right,
that.
So the way Poskim talk about it is, right, if it comes to an, like, a sharp edge like this, right, so then you sort of imagine it. If it goes gradual, I guess you sort of imagine it keep going, right, you keep going, something like that, right, and again, so that's where it really comes up, is that, right, if, you know, a lot of these overhangs are really going to help you, and they argue that if the bottom is like this, again, I can send you the pictures of this. It'll be helpful to understand exactly how this works. So that's when Pitikra usually comes up. But in the Brooklyn area, this was actually a big machlokas. I think I'm going to say this outside. I gave you a lot of lumdas on how it works. Is Pitikra Yared Vesosim a function of what's called of Makora or not? Right. Right. Remember we talked about Makora being the magic Rishus Hayachet. Yeah. That'd be fine, as long as it's big enough, or as long as it's big enough, right? As long as it's big enough, it's going to be fine, right? I mean, it has to be, it can't be like one tefach, it has to be four trachim, right? But yeah, right, same thing, right? You put up an awning like that, right? A flat one, right? Or one with a, not a, you know, you have a flat, like some of these, maybe just for shade or something like that, you know, then you solve a lot of the problems, right? You have a lot of problems. Like if you have no Erev, remember we talked about this in the first year, right? If you have no Erev and you carry your key in your belt, right? Then you still might mess up because, right, you know, when you put your key in the door, right, now the key is going into the Rishus Hayachid, you open the door, right? There's all types of complexities of what you're supposed to do there, right? None of this exists if you have a Pitikra Yared Vesosim, right, as long as you keep your key within that spot. So this does have certain nafkaminas, right? This is actually an important halacha to know about, even though it doesn't usually come up nowadays, I think, in most Erevin. But I'm not going to go through all the sources. Now, let me maybe summarize outside the issues in Pitikra. Yeah, sure.
So
say that again?
So But with regards to minor law, I think including definitely the states in terms of your sidewalks not paved, you can get a or not made down. If it's A, really horrible, or if it's snow, you can get sued for that. In terms of how much you say, giving you without having a bench along those lines, how far would you be willing to sail in response to this area? It's completely insured at the same time.
Yeah, I don't think we would do it, right? Because there, right, it's not owned by you, right? I mean, we saw shit has been owned. Well, it's not. You just have a chryos on it.
Just the sidewalk. So I'm saying once you would...
Great, you don't own it.
So that would be sidewalk. So once you get out to the rest of your little patch of your green grass, if now you own it, so you're ready to go and sit at that point.
Potentially, if you thought it... Well, no, it might be a karmalist, right? Meaning it might be... Right, meaning if it's owned, so according to the Ramban, it's not Rosh Harabim. Right, correct. Right? It might... It's not... What? Correct, but you won't be able to carry, right? You won't be able to carry, but if it's within a wall, right, you will be, right? Then it's just your house, right? You're not in your lawn. You might not be chayev d'oraisa, right? But you could be chayev. But you could be chayev midrabbana. Now, okay. So I want to just I'm gonna summarize Pitikra. Outside a little bit, but I gave you all the sources here. So that's what I'm going to get to. I'll summarize and then explain what it was. Okay, so first, where does Pitikra work? Okay, how many walls do you need, right, for Pitikra to work? Right, meaning if I just hang something in the middle of space, right, like a flat roof, does that mean it has four walls around I can carry underneath? Right, I mean, it might be Mekara, right, but does that four walls, is it just a Yachid? Or just not a Rosh Harabim. So there's a machlokas. There's basically two shita. Okay, I'll summarize the shita outside. Right, Simon has a nice summary here, but I gave you the sources from 36 and on here. So the tour says that you can only do it once you have two walls like this. Come in game, right? A dalet. Right, then you're allowed to say Pitikra on wall 3 and wall 4, and this is the psak of the Ramah. Okay? The Rambam says that it only works on the fourth wall. Remember the Rambam who says you need 3 plus halachic wall? The Rambam follows Rabbeinu Chananel, I think it is, who also says this, who says that Pitikra is only on the fourth wall. Right? So Pitikra, to the extent that it exists, right, is only once you have at least 2 or 3 pre-existing walls. Again, the Ramah paskins 2 pre-existing walls, but only in an L. Now, you might say, how often do you have an L? Again, maybe not in a Rosh Harabim, like in a public space, but in your house you have this all the time. Right? And you think about it, right? Like you have, right? You know, like all the, right? You can think about it, right? You have a house, right? On one side it's open, but you have the house, and then you have, like as you walk up to the stairs, let's say you have bay windows or something coming out this way, right? So the house actually creates an L, right? You can imagine what I'm talking about? No? Okay. You know, sometimes you'll have, right? Right? For the Ramah, this is important because you have, let's say, right, you come up, you have somebody, you have the stairs to somebody's house, right? Then their house isn't like a perfect square, right? Like their house is shaped like this, right? Either this is a garage, let's say, right? Right? So like the garage juts out past the rest of the house, and by the time you get to this, right, to the house, so you have an L of the house itself, right? So according to the Ramah, this is the perfect case where Pitikra applies. Right, this is what I realized at some point, right, is that the Ramah is actually very important, right? As long as you think you only need two walls, right, and then Pitikra works on wall 3, wall 4, there are a lot of houses like this, right? If you have a jutting out garage, right, that creates an L to your house, right? So then you have the roof that goes like this, and underneath is flat, right? Underneath is flat, right? You have a curved roof, and then either you have an awning there, or you have just a flat roof underneath. It's totally flat, right? So underneath, you perceive it as flat, right? It's just, right? It's not like this. It's like this, right? But underneath is perfectly flat, right? This is what they point out in that book. I was happy they said it, right? Because I realized this, and then I saw they have a whole discussion about this. Correct.
The part is covered by the business.
Right, by an awning, by whatever. So that's a Rosh, according to the Ramah, right, that area is a Rosh Hayachid Daraisa, right? I'm sorry, it's a Rosh Hayachid Lechatkila, you're allowed to carry there. Right? Not just, right, it's not a Rosh Hayachid, it's a Rosh Hayachid, right, Lagamre, you're allowed to carry in that space, and therefore, right, if you don't hold it the Erev, you can still keep your key under there, you can put your shoes there, and you don't have to worry, and right, all that type of stuff, right, you can put your stroller there, right, bring it in and out of the house, right, if you know, whatever, right? Store things out there, right? All that type of stuff. Even if you don't know the Eruv, you can rely on this. So the Rambam thinks you need three plus the Tur and the Rambam Paskin, you need an L, right? Once you have an L, so then you are good. And again, this comes from the Sugya, but it's a bit complicated. I don't want to get caught up in it. Now this may be because the Rambam thinks that this is only Dirabanan, that Pitikra is only Din Dirabanan, right? Because it's three plus a Tikkun, right? And the other Rishonim clearly hold is Daraisa because they need. Right, they need to add walls, but the Be'er Halacha goes through this analysis of whether Pitikra is Doraisa Drabana, which may depend on how many walls you think it can fix. The machlokas that erupted in the Brooklyn Eruv was as follows: they had what is in Ramosha's Tshuva, it is the elevator. What's the elevator? The elevated train. Correct. So if you know the elevated train, how does it look like? Right, so you have, bidyuk, right? So the question that came up in the Brooklyn Eruv was, can you rely on those tracks to be a halachic wall to be pitikra yored v'sosim, right? Can you rely on the elevator track, right? The elevated tracks, right, which are flat and they're an overhang to create halachic walls. So if you have other walls, right, can that be your wall, right? So let's say you have... So you have, right, you have the elevated train. So let's say you have areas where you have, I don't know, a highway wall here, right? And then you have, right, on one side you have a highway wall, and then at some point you have, right, you have the elevated tracks, right? So the question was, can that act as one of the walls to make it that we have machitzot around Brooklyn? It's like a bridge, yeah. It's like a bridge, essentially, right? But in the middle of the city, right? Smack in the middle. It's just an elevated train. It's overpasses, right? That's what it is. So this was a big machlokas based on the following, right? The Gemara in Sukkah says that Rav Amar L'chad Kan L'Amar Rav Hasam El D'mechitzos L'achsadre Hu D'Avide Aval Hachad Lav L'Achi Avide Lo. Right, so Rava introduces this principle in Sukkah that Pitikra only works in a case when the mechitzot, so to speak, of the Pitikra were meant to serve the inside, right? The inside and not the outside. So Rav Moshe writes, after all the Gemaras. Again, building up to the Sugya is actually quite complicated. Right, 75. I put it that farther, that far on. Yeah, that might be that one. Okay. Yeah, that's the one. Right. So Moshe says in the middle, it is to Rafal Weissmandel. So he says. Vimkein pashut shela elevator shel nasel lurshus harabim ena mechitza lurshus harabim midin pitikra. Right, he says from the Gemara, you see that pitikra is only when the roof was meant to enclose this space, and therefore within the space you can use it as your third and fourth wall. Right, but here it's just an overhang. Right, it's holding up a train. Right, it's not perceived as a wall, so therefore it's not a wall. Right, so it's therefore av my anachshu mechitza lazeta elevator midin pidikra l'ravash l'alchemoso k'mo asur mechitza gabe echsadra ve'ena mechitza gabe sukkah. I mean, he says this isn't right a wall because it's not made. Right, the pidikra is not made for the space inside. And he was responding here to Rav Falber Weissmandel, who was one of the supporters of the Eruv, who said that it's not true. And his argument was essentially, look, fine. So it creates a mechitza for what's inside. Right? Who cares? Right? Who cares? Because think about it. For a sukkah, it matters whether something is a wall, is considered a wall for that which is inside, or only a wall agaba the outside. But for an Eruv, it doesn't, because, fine. So you have the tracks. So underneath the tracks, you have a wall for what's inside, right? But this wall goes this way, this wall goes this way. Either way you look at it, right? When you hit it, there's a wall, right? being, it's not like it's self-contained, right? So it maybe goes one directional, right? But like they both go one directional. Like however you look at it, right? There is a mechitza here. So it became this machlokas where Moshe says, right, Pitikra is meaningless, right? Is meaningless unless it's asur l'socho. And Rav Baruch Zolber Maismandel said, look, all the limitations of Pitikra, of it being for the inside, are only when you need mechitzas and ikaros for sukkah. For the purpose of Shabbos, using a wall. I don't care if it's done for the inside, for the outside, right? You have a wall, right? By mechitza, by sukkah, you need mechitzas and ikaros. And therefore, there are certain limitations on Pitikra. It has to be a mechitza that's meant to serve that which is inside of it, right? But for Erevin, you just need a wall, right? And this is a wall, right? It's a wall. I don't care what direction it is, right? When you hit it, however you figure it out, but it's a wall. So you get this, right, so you have this fundamental machlokas, but the supporters of the Eruv were actually relying on Pitikra and arguing that, look, these limitations of Asur L'Socho and the like don't apply by Shabbos, they only apply by Sukkah. And Rav Moshe said, no, the same limitations you have by Sukkah, right, that in order for something to be a wall, it has to be meant as a wall, right, it has to be meant to enclose a space. Applies by Erevin, and therefore he discredited this as a wall. Rav Moshe had a second chiddush, which is that not only does it have to be asur l'socho, it has to be asur l'tachtav and not asur al-gabav. Right? Rav Moshe had two problems. Right? It has to be asur l'socho and asur l'tachtav and not asur l'gabav. Right? And an elevator train is only made to be gabav. However, Weissmandel pointed out that in Rashi it sounds like, again, this psul is only by sukkah. Right? That all these limitations are only by sukkah, and that's the sort of essential machlokas that you have throughout. And again, I've given you a lot more alumnus on Pitikra, Yorad V'Sosim. It doesn't come up so much. It did come up a lot in the Brooklyn Eruv. So I gave it many, many sources all the way going through 77. Again, in the 1905 Eruv, this was also important. They used Pitikra for the tunnels, right? The way they got around the problem of the tunnels, which theoretically should have posseled the Eruv in Manhattan, was they argued Pitikra Yorad V'Sosim, and therefore the tunnels are cut off from the rest of Manhattan. And Rav Moshkevitz, who was one of the poskim supporting the 1905 New York Eruv, used Pitikra, and Rav Henkin Sr. had argued that it doesn't work because it's not flat. Right, if you ever seen what? The tunnels, like Brooklyn Battery, I don't know if that was around, whichever one is, Holland Tunnel, Lincoln, right, whichever tunnels they were around. Right, they're not for subways. They're also subway ones, but there's a lot. Manhattan's an island, right? Manhattan's an island, so you can only get in through bridge or through.
Like an underwater tunnel?
Yeah. It's an island, right? New York is made up of islands, right? Brooklyn and Queens are on one island, right? Right. So, yes, you can only ever get anywhere with a bridge or a tunnel. Like, Mamish, under tunnel water, yes. Okay, fine. How much time did you say we have today? You said I had more than an hour and a quarter, right? How much do I have? Okay, fine. Fine, so let's do the... That doesn't surprise me.
More effective ways of checking because it's very difficult.
Okay, so you know what? Let me look here for a second. Okay, so let me tell you. First, let me tell you what we're not going to do, right? And what I just have sources here for you to read. Like I said, right? The gold standard that makes something reshayachid is mechitzot. There is a lot of question of what exactly a mechitza is. So, starting at number 105, right? I put the issue there of mechitzot. Right, the basic rules in mechitzot are it needs to be. Right, it needs to be 10 tefachim tall. There's machlokot about mechitza tluya, Right, the Gemara says the mechitzah tluya is possible because gedim bokimbo, because goats can go underneath. There's a machlokas achronim, whether that means that anything which is hanging is not a wall, or literally it's about gedim bokimbo, and therefore if you had a hanging wall and a little thing that prevented goats from getting through, that would be a wall. There is the essential rule in a wall, in order to be a wall d'oraisa, in order for something to be enclosed, it needs to be omed merubah laparotz. I gave you many, many sources, but what if it is exactly omed kiparotz, right? What happens, right? All types of different manifestations. Omed merubah laparotz means the standing part of the walls around are more than the gaps, right? There are different manifestations of that, right? Omed kiparotz, but it's exactly 50-50. Is it per wall? Is it not? And a lot of the super Erevin, right, who want to claim they have mechitzot are dealing with these problems, right, where they want to have omen merubah laparotz, and then they have to get into very tricky situations like asi avira mehaygisa mevatale, which are questions of what happens when you have wall space, do the spaces make the wall disappear, so they count as zero. On number 137, this is all from Rabbi Tarchiner, he like summarized all of machloket in the shaded part, right, all the different manifestations you could have of this, right. If I try to explain it, you have to actually sit down and actually think about this. I gave you the sources, including his chart. It's very, very helpful there. And the super Erevin will do essentially get into these questions. Okay, how much time do I actually have? Because I see people starting to... There. Okay. So, two important sugyas that we do need to get into more of the details of. Maybe I'll run through a little bit more outside. One is how big a space can be enclosed by mechitzas. Okay, how big can it be? Right, meaning if I put walls on the whole world, right, so now you need nothing, right, is that what it is? So the Gemara clearly says not. The Gemara in Erevin Chav Beis says, look at the second line, Amar Rav Yitzchak, Amar Rav Yosef, Amar Yochanan, Eretz Yisrael ein chayavin al mishus harabim. Israel is not a mishus harabim. And Yasser of Dimi Gamar Lala Shmaita Amrale Abai Rav Dimi. My taima. Why do you think that's true? Ile Mishum de Makiv Lay Sumo de Tsur Meachisa. Umachtana together, Meachis. Is it because you think that, you know, like on the boundaries there are like mountains that create walls and things like that? So there are theoretical walls around the whole thing. He said, once you say that, Bavil Nami, Makiv Lay Pras, Meachis, Vidiglas Mehai Pri, right, Meah, right? All of Bavil has the Euphrates on one side and the right and English, one second. Tigris, thank you. The Tigris and the Euphrates, right? Tigris and the Euphrates. So it's also the Kuli Alma Nami Mako Fakianus and the whole world, right? Has the ocean around it, right? Are we one big Rishus Hayachid? Well, so that's what I mentioned this one line before. The Machlok is it the water per se or the fact that water, right, at some point has a cutoff, right, where it goes steeply enough? So then the Gemara tries to figure out exactly what it's talking about. Now, based on this, so the Rishonim say, okay, that tells you that there is some limit somewhere, right? It can't be the whole world, right? So what is the limitation? So you basically have the following shita. Tosus says, in number 80, so Tosus says that this is only true of mechitzos bidei shamayim, not mechitzos bidei adam, right? Tosus seems to say that mechitzos bidei adam, in a chanami, if you built a wall around the entire world, yachol yod would be rishus hayachid. Why? Because it's made as a wall. But mechitzos ha'asui bidei shamayim, the only reason they are mechitzos is because they're perceived as such. But if they're all the way out, they're thousands of miles away from you, right? You don't feel enclosed, right? You know the ocean is out there. You don't feel like, right, safuf. And therefore, it sounds like from Tosfos that potentially, a mechitza asu bidei adam would have no limit whatsoever, right? Would have no limit anywhere. But a mechitza bidei shamayim would have a limit somewhere. And that is how the Chasam Sofer takes it. And his argument is because mechitzas bidei adam are lo nichatash mishte, right? They're not meant to be used; they're meant to enclose you, as opposed to bidei shamayim, which you know, there are mountains around, so you climb in the mountains, v'chulei. Now, The Ritva, if you skip from a moment to 84, says not that way. And he says, let me get the key line. Three lines from the bottom, he says, no, it's not a difference of bidei shamayim bidei adam. It's a difference. Omer Rabbeinu Aravzal, da'inu kol sheroa atzma b'toch mechitzos, da'avog avdol agave shabbos, lo minun mechitzos, and ikarot ladi rasa, with the ease of barakamba de sukkah, filochi, binan shiyira atzmo, toch mechitzos. Right? He says the issue at hand is not bidei shamayim bidei adam. The halacha is that you need to perceive yourself as being within the walls. Now the Chazon Ish, in 82, thinks that Tosfos and the Ritva are basically saying the same thing. And the argument is essentially that anything which is asui bidei adam, you always perceive yourself as being within mechitzos, because since it was man-made to constrain you, you feel like you're just in a very, very big building, right? If you know that you built walls around, it doesn't matter how big it is, you feel like you're inside. But things made by God, you don't perceive it. Other achronim argued that this is not true, that these are two different models, right? Tosfos is saying there is no limit to a mechitza asui bidei Adam, and there is mechitza bidei shamayim, and the Ritva is saying bein mechitzas bidei adam, bein mechitzas bidei shamayim. The issue at hand is that you need to perceive yourself within the wall. How big is that space? So the Acharonim who try to put numbers on this, if I just give you some of them, so Rav Moshe, so basically many of the Acharonim work with the notion of 16 mil. Based on a sugya and Becharos. But then you have a little bit of a machlokes, right? Rav Moshe deals with the question, is it 16 mil total, or is it 16 mil on both sides, meaning a space of 32 mil, right? Meaning 16 mil from an omid ba'emtza. So these are the different shita that you have in the poskim, right? You have some who, if you poskim like Tosfos, so then if it's asui bidei adam, there would be no limit, right? If you poskim like the Chazon Ish's interpretation of Tosfos, then there's a limit, bein bidei adam, bein bidei shamayim, and according to the Ritva, the limitation is whenever you feel like you're within the mechitzas, and whatever that means, so the Achronim throw around basically either 16 mil or 32 mil, right? Again, based on the notion that 16 mil is how much you'd feel like you're inside, the only question is that total, or is that for someone standing in the middle, meaning a total of 32 mil, and I gave you the sources on this through 94. Okay, I'm not going to get too much into Chorei Rishus HaYachid, but I'll summarize it for you outside. 95 to 103 is the issue of Chorei Rishus HaYachid. Chorei Rishus HaYachid basically means that if you have something which is a Rishus HaYachid, and then you have a ledge, right? The ledge becomes part of the Rishus HaYachid, even if it doesn't fit the other qualifications. The halacha in general is that if you have, the only time this is really a nafkamina is the following, is there's a machlokas in the Achronim, whether, right, if you have a wall between the Rosh Hashayachid and the Ziz, and the thing that, the ledge, so then it is not a Rosh Hashayachid, right, because the wall separates the two. But there is a bit of a diyun in the Achronim of whether that's an absolute rule, meaning whenever there's a wall, so it separates you from the Ziz, or is that only in a case where the wall in between, the Rishus HaYachid and the ledge, actually indicates that these are two separate spaces, not where it's the type of wall or door that makes it clear that this is a subsidiary to the Rishus HaYachid. The nafkamina is porches, right? If you think that the reason a wall stops something from being defined as a Chorei Rishus HaYachid is because it's automatic, right, once you have a wall in between a Rishus HaYachid and the ledge, so now it is not a Rishus HaYachid, so a porch that doesn't have its own walls, right, like a not safe porch, right, or whatever, a porch that is like 2 feet off the ground or something like that, right, that might be you can't carry on your own porch, right? If you think that, really the question is, Chorei Rishus HaYachid is anything which is clearly subsidiary to Rishus HaYachid, so then a porch where the wall opens up to it and it's clear that it's only being used by the house, right, and you come in from the house, right, etc. So then the porch is going to be Chorei Rishus HaYachid, and it's going to be a total Rishus HaYachid even without walls. And that's a Machlokas Achronim, which I gave you through 104. Okay, like I said, most of the sources here that are left are about all different permutations of parutz, omed keparutz, parutz keomed, and different variations on that, which are important to go through. The plan was never to go through that inside because the details are really quite intense. But Rav Tarchino is very organized. These are his sources and charts. And you can look up his shiurim on YUTAR if you really want to get into those. Okay. The sources here that really are very important are Delassos. I'm feeling we have to stop here. And I'm getting nods. So we'll stop there. That's good. What?
Do you want to just mention the Chazon Ish about...
Which one?
Homemade about apartment buildings.
Yeah. So let me mention that now. Okay. So I'm not going to get into the full topic of Asi Rabim Vatli Mechitzta.
The truth is, we'll do one more on this, because I'm looking now how much you have. Couple of stuff.
Well, look, I honestly never planned doing all the details of Asivar Aviro Mvatli Lahaik, right? Lahaik, so that I don't think of. The Losos Asirab Mvatli Mechitzta, though I think we could probably do that in one. Go from that and go to Suras HaPesach. How many did I put in here? 198, who knew? Okay, so let's continue the Losos next time. But you told me I had 2 hours. I'm not even at 2 hours. I'm an hour and a half.
We started early.
Fine. So we'll stop there. The main topic that is really left is the Losos and the Chazon Ish's Asi Rabim Vatli Mechitzta and the Chazon Ish's particular take on that question. Just to sort of give you the nutshell version of it, is that the Chazon Ish, I think I've mentioned this a few times, had this notion that all of our big cities are Rishuyos Hayachid because you have so many buildings that it's basically walls everywhere. And Rav Aaron Cutler didn't like it because since you're meant to walk through them, right? So he invoked Asi Rabim Vatli Mechitzta to argue that this is Rishus HaRabim. So that is a major machlokes, which is still relevant, right? Like the Wayu Erev is a Chazon Ish Erev, which, right, like Rav Shechter is relying on the Chazon Ish, and therefore, right, it is not relying on Rav Aaron Cutler and arguing that, yes, you can in fact use those walls, plus a combination of other things, Turis HaPesach and things like that, to make walls, and therefore not worry about Broadway and Amsterdam, Amsterdam at least, being a Rishus HaRabim. Based on Rav Aaron Cutler, that doesn't help. You have Amsterdam running through it. You have Broadway running through it, right? Not for the YU Erev. Right? The YU Erev purposely does not include Broadway. Does include Amsterdam. The one on the other side, right, includes Broadway. But those are Chazon Ish Erevin. The opposition to that is Rav Aaron Cutler. So we'll have to do that. And the other thing is Delassos, where closing doors on the Rishus HaRabim will make it into Rishus HaYachid. In most places, you don't actually have doors. So you have to get into what does it mean to have a door? Does it have to be actually closed, ra'i to be closed? And sure, in Alon Shvut, they lock the door at night, at least in one of the shars. In Manhattan, right, if you talk to Rabbi Jachter, on December 24th at night, when no one's walking, for like 2 minutes, they run across Broadway with a tennis net that is wrapped up on the corner of like 72nd Street, and like for 2 minutes they run across the street, close off Broadway, and then close it based on a much looser definition of what exactly you need by this. It's not, right, it's ro'i linol pam bishana, right, that you can do that. We have to get into that because like certain Erevin are in fact based on things like that. Okay, we'll figure this out.